Zain Iyah, we're holding in Siman Pei Halacha Ayin Zain, and we're going to Halacha Pei Vav. So we've been discussing the concept of a mechitza, partitions being placed on Shabbos. We said one of the main prohibitions would be when you're creating what's called a mechitza hamateras, which means you're creating a domain. We didn't discuss in depth also what the kitzur discusses at the end, where you have these different types of folding up mechitzot. The best advice for any of these type of partitions is that it should be opened before Shabbos at least a tefach. Tefach is a tiny amount, which is around 3 inches. So if you open 3 inches, now again, it's not enough that the width of the item itself is really 3 inches. It needs to be opened up 3 inches. So whatever you're dealing with, that already avoids half the problems. And in fact, that's really the intro to the next halacha. Where it's more complicated is where you have something that's actually acting as a rooftop. And there's many interesting shaylos. So Piskachu is discussing one of the most classical shaylos where kids are playing and making these tents. So certainly a tent is at least an issur d'rabbanan, because that's the example of something that creates oil is by definition something that is a tefach, if it has already a tefach of a ceiling, which is 3 inches and more, that would already be a problem of oil. So in any case, one of the main functions of an oil is to protect oneself from the sun or the rain or something and any of the like. So even if it's going to be a temporary tent, that's what the kids or teachers ask. If it's a tefach by a tefach, basically 3 inches by 3 inches, you're not allowed to do so. So hence, the kids are discussing one of the very common and practical questions is regarding different types of cribs of a baby. So you have the way that the kids are describing them, you have all these different types of wooden arches. And the question is, can you spread something on top of it? Now, in truth, if those wooden arches are within 3 tfachim of each other, so that's around 9 inches, that's already good enough to be considered what's called already, it's lavud. And I mean, this can lavud means that it's already halachically considered one. And then if there's no shaila at all, it's considered already closed, and you're allowed to place a different type of cover on top of it. The problem is when you don't have, that means there's too much space in between the arches, so then there's a problem. There's a problem to cover it with a sheet or the like, because in such a case, you are creating an oil. So if you already have something spread on top of a tefach before, so then it's called to sefes oihel arai, which is mutter. So here there's a major discussion, the price scheme of Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, it's quoted in the article here in the Kitzur, that he was machmir when it comes to the different types of strollers. However, many, which the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in English does not quote, but if you look in the Pesukos, he points out that the majority of the Pesukim of the Achronim felt that there were cribs because they have a hinge and they're basically made to open and close. They're very similar to a door, and there is what to rely on when it comes to closing these types of different strollers and covers and anything like that. Now I'm not talking about regular umbrellas, we'll get to that in a moment, but different types of covering that you have on strollers, albeit that the best thing is, and that's what all the priests can say, what we said before is that have it open at least a tefach. If you have it open a tefach before Shabbos, then it avoids a lot of problems. Another interesting discussion, which is, we wouldn't even sometimes think about, is a box. And if the box cover doesn't have something that's attached with hinges, it's not like made to open and close, and now, or even if it's made to be used as a cover, but it's not like a door. So therefore the halacha is, if you're removing that cover and putting it back, there might be a shaila of making, creating an oil and undoing an oil. Fascinating point. So many times if you have, in fact, the kids gives, if you want to place like a type of board on a barrel in order to act as a table. So the best thing is, and what you should do, is turn over the barrel. Because otherwise, when you're putting this table on the barrel itself, the barrel itself is an opening, and now you're covering it. So you created now an oil. Who would think about that? Many times you open up different types of folding tables and folding chairs. Usually in such a case, it's not a problem. First of all, it's made to fold and collapse. Number two, the airspace underneath is not being used. Usually the concern of an oil is where the airspace underneath is being used, and hence when you're covering something, even a box, etc., sometimes what you're doing is you're covering an opening, and now it's functioning as a protection. That's where you already run into shilas. Another example that the kitzur discusses is smoke vents, or what we call to the ship chimneys. People have chimneys. So chimneys from the side, if the opening is from the side, and now you're adding some type of cover, that's okay. But if it's from the top, you're not allowed to cover it on Shabbos. Besides the fact that it might be even halachic problems of flames, etc., igniting the flames if the flames are going. But stam, even just covering and putting on top, something on top, stopping the smoke, that would be also to be done because on Shabbos and Yom Tov because of oil, you're creating an oil. Now, unless there's something like the kitzur says, a door that turns on hinges, so then you're allowed to use it. Why? Because since it's set there, it becomes like a door. That's the secret of turning allowing a situation of tense when you identify it as a door. And the only way to identify it as a door usually is with something that has hinges. Another example of using even a cloth type of material to cover the opening of a barrel, one should not do so if the barrel is not full all the way to the top, because then there's space, and now by covering it, you're creating a nose. So the best thing is to leave a little bit of the space open. And this is, by the way, besides the cases, we remember we learned this, that you shouldn't use a cloth that you are worried about getting wet, because then there's a concern of squeezing. It's about something that even if you wouldn't mind getting wet, because it's used to being done, still covering there would be a question. Now, the kitzur discusses one of the famous shailas. I once heard there was a neighborhood, the Rechash Rav, I knew for many years. He told me that, I think I heard from him, that there was a community, a Sephardi community, that they used umbrellas. What did they do? They had their umbrellas open up before Shabbos. Since it was open up before Shabbos, you're not really creating any oil by picking it up, and therefore they allowed it. And this fellow from this community came and visited a regular community where they don't, our customers not to use umbrellas for different reasons. Long Bir Alacha, there's a Neidah B'Yud on this, a Chasam Sefer. And the bottom line is, certainly to open up an umbrella, whether it's protecting you for the sun or for the rain, that would be awesome. That is no doubt about. The question is, even if it's already opened up, so the halacha is for different reasons. Also, even if the chol, someone once actually recently wanted to make these umbrellas, the cover Shabbos Kodesh. All these things are wonderful ideas, but the nice how many is that we don't use umbrellas, even if you're going to get wet. Now, if it's already open and extreme circumstances, so then there's what to consider. When it comes to utensils that are made of different parts that basically connect to each other and they get detached, if it's normal for it to be in and out and to be loose and put in back, and you never need to strengthen it with either with any screw or of the like, so there's no concern that you're going to do something that's considered a real binyan, not a problem. In fact, I saw that the Achanim point out, and this I saw also I get this question quite often, if kids are allowed to play Lego, well, there's another thing similar to Lego that they have these days, I forget what it's called, I'm going to remember the word, but anyway, it's a similar type of, the modern type of Lego, but the point is, that why is it mutter? Mekad in its mutter is because it's not osi l'kaim, it's made to build together and take it apart, unless you're really planning on keeping it for a long time. And nevertheless, either way, this is something that really bar mitzvah shouldn't do. We're talking about little kids that are playing with it. There's definitely what to rely on. When it comes to machbesh is a press. A regular press, you're allowed to take something out of a press. And again, it's hard for us to relate to exactly. These are two boards pressing down the clothing. You're allowed to take it out. Unless it's a professional type of press, then it looks like it's your seisa. You're doing mamsha, the opposite of bainu, which is taking down and destroying. One is not allowed to do so on Shabbos. When it comes to this is a very common question. You have a bench and one of the legs fell off. You're not allowed to put the leg back in. And even if you're doing it loosely, because we're worried you're going to not do it loosely, you're going to do it properly, or you're going to come and fix it. Not only that, you can't even support it on another bench unless it was already done before. Now, there is another etzah that the poskim say. And that is if the leg, they already discarded. There's no way that anyone's going to be concerned. We're not concerned anyone that's going to grab this leg and try to fix it on Shabbos. So in such a case, there's much more room to be lenient, to be able to support it with something else. When it comes to the clock, interesting. Clock is nothing new. I don't know how old the clock is, but the Moire Shois, called the Zeger, So you have to also know that maybe the ziga that the kids are talking about is not exactly the ziga we have today, even though it's interesting today. I'm not talking about the electric ones and the battery operated one, because certainly those, if they stop and now you try to fix them, it's going to be a problem. But even the ones that today are much more mechanical. You know, the ones that are $20,000, people wear mamish $100,000 watches. Yeah, I know it's shocking. I like wearing my simple Armatron or whatever they're called. But the point is that when the ones that are actually more mechanical, so there is a tzad to be meikle with it, that maybe once it's functioning and now you're just winding it more, it should be okay. Nevertheless, from the kitzer, it doesn't seem like he liked any of these ideas, except maybe Yom Tov Sheni, where there was room to be meikle because there's a derabanan. It seems that he felt that all the different types of ways of fixing it, or even making it function for a longer amount of time, was a problem of tikkun money, meaning that otherwise it's not considered a watch anymore. So there's definitely a lot of room to argue on this point, but that seems to be the approach. Other kids of Shchanoch, have a beautiful day.